Hi, everybody. Welcome to SEND Network's ongoing Training for Trainers resource. Thanks for joining us on our journey to learn together how to make your transformational training even better. We want to encourage and empower you to keep growing in your confidence and competence as a trainer. Now, here are the hosts for today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Duncan with the SEND Network Training for the North American Mission Board. My responsibility is training the trainers of church planters kind of along the East Coast, and we want to welcome you here to this podcast. With me today is my co-host, Peyton Jones, who's out there on the West Coast. Hello, Peyton. How you doing today?
Good, man. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to hear your great voice one more time. And then our guest today is Jim Galvin. Jim is an award-winning author. He's written books published by Zondervan and Tyndall and Thomas Nelson. We're going to be focusing on his latest book, which is called I've Got Your Back. We'll talk a little bit more about where you can get that book. It's wonderful. Jim has a master's degree and a bachelor's degree from Wheaton. He's got a doctorate of education from Northern Illinois University. So he's wonderful. And probably the thing that is most intriguing to me about his authorship is that he was one of the original authors of the study notes with the Life Application Bible. Mac Lake is the guy that kind of invited Peyton and me onto this SEND Network training team. And he made a strong recommendation, because my responsibility is to help ongoing training for trainers, that we talk to you, Jim. And I think it was because of this particular book, I've Got Your Back. So if you could summarize in just, you know, a couple of minutes or so, what this book's about, why it's important, what would you say? How would you describe the heart of the book?
Well, the central message is whatever position you serve in, to follow well. So who's your leader? Who are you responsible to? And how do you follow well? How do you do your job thoroughly? How do you make his or her job easier?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that on a scale of 1 to 5. And the other point is, it's not just our job, but we are following in many different capacities in life. So who's leading us? Who are the other leaders in other aspects of life? How do we work together? How do we make their jobs easier? And how do we live every part of our lives following at level 4 or level 5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So level 3 is just being compliant, just doing your job. And point of the book is, it's probably not good enough. Mm. You can do better than that.
All right. So as trainers of church planters, and I'm particularly thinking about the cohort, what we're looking for are level 4 and level 5 planters,
yeah,
to be trained. Now, sometimes what we get in our training are guys that are just going through the motions because maybe the denomination has said, you have to get this training if you're going to get the money from us.
Right.
So they show up to the training, and they might be level 2 or level 3 guys.
Yes, but they're highly motivated.
Yeah, right. So how can we as trainers help guys move from levels 2 and 3 to level 4? How can we help a level 4 guy get from level 4 to level 5? How can that happen?
Yeah, so level 5 learners and followers. Well, you know, every industry has the same challenge. How do you get people engaged? And the first thing you need to realize is you're dealing with adult learners. So they're not college students seeking a degree. They're adult learners. And so they have their own goals. They have their own motivation. They have their own learning style. And if someone says, hey, you have to come to Nashville and do this training, okay, sure, so they'll go, or they have to go, okay? And if that's their mindset, they're going to, they'll be present. They might check out mentally. They might listen attentively, but they're not fully engaged yet. And so as trainers, you need to engage them. And so there's a couple ways to do that. first is recognizing they're adult learners. They're not learning this because you want them to learn it or you need them to learn it. They have their own goals. They're going to just find the tips, find the techniques, find the tools that help them with the goals that they're trying to achieve. So you need to start out with individual concern. So the training doesn't start with the first session. The training starts before, welcoming people when they come, getting to know them, finding out where you at in the church planting process. Are you already starting a congregation? Are you training, still waiting? What are your biggest fears and concerns? And being totally focused on them as an individual and finding out what their challenges are, what their goals are, and what they need right now.
Right.
And sometimes they don't know what they need. And so engaging individually and deeply with each of the learners before you even begin would be one of the keys to increasing engagement.
Sounds a little bit like loving somebody else.
You know, it's funny you say that, Jim, because when we do a cohort, you know, we do train the trainer, we train the trainers to lead their cohort. And so we do what's called a model session where we become the trainer. They are the church planters. And one of the things that almost always comes up is we always start every session asking, how's your life going? You're not allowed to say good, fine. You're not allowed to talk about the ministry. We want to talk about you. How are you doing? And almost always people come back to that when we do the session review and they say, you know, we really picked up that you actually, if you're going to be a trainer, you care about these planters. And, you know, our response has always been, if you don't care about these planters, then why are you doing this in the first place?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, you said we need to start by trying to figure out what do they need.
Right.
But sometimes they don't know what they need.
Right.
I totally agree with that. How do we help them see what they need so we can help them meet that need?
Yeah, well, in training, you should organize each unit around tell, show, and do. So tell, you got to deliver some information. Show, you got to have an example, case study, whatever. And then a do, they have to have a chance to use it, apply it. Think about how they're going to transfer this to their workplace. And so one thing you can do is start with a do instead of a tell. So it's like, you know, if you want to engage people, say, okay, Mike, you lead this session, and I'm going to sit here and be a participant, and you have to engage me. And so sit there, slouch in the chair, and put your hoodie on. Okay, and look down at your paper. Okay. And then after 10 minutes, they'll figure out they can't engage you and have someone else lead the session. They can't engage you. Okay. Now they know what they need.
Okay.
Or the other way, start with a case study of a really jacked up situation in a small congregation with this stupid conflict that's going on around the worship service or the worship time or whatever, okay? And just say, how would you guys solve this problem? How would you come in and help this congregation figure it out? And then when they can't solve it, okay, now that part of their brain is lit up and they're really interested in some principles for how do you resolve conflict.
Yeah. And you kind of do that very thing in your book. Is you've got four people, you know, who have varying problems, and they, because they went to the same university, somehow they connected with each other, and somebody points them to a coach, and that coach guides them expertly through a process. I mean, I love the fact that it's kind of a case study slash strategic narrative slash scenario.
Parable.
Yes, a parable. Exactly. So obviously you believe in the power of story. So how can our trainers leverage the power of story better? Because we do have some content that we're trying to, you know, get across, some expertise that we want our planters to have, but how can our trainers leverage story better?
Yeah. So, the stories from the life of the trainer can be very powerful and illustrative. So tell, show, do. Show is telling a story. You're showing them how you handle this particular situation, how you planted a church, how you got to know your neighbors, that kind of thing. But another part of story is, and especially for adult learners, is drawing out their story.
Hmm.
And they learn from each other when they share what they already know. And that often is just as powerful as the trainer sharing what he or she knows.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm writing this down. So how do you draw those out? One of the temptations is for me as a church planter to tell my war stories. I end up talking too much. The glaze comes over the eyes of the learner. How do we avoid that temptation?
You talk too much because you're a pastor.
Thanks for the compliment.
And that's probably one of the biggest hurdles to get over if you're going to train church planters is in some senses you're, a pastor to the pastor, but when you're in a training situation, you got adult learners who don't want to sit passively and hear you lecture all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing less effective than a lecture of all the learning activities that you can implement: case study, role play, discussion, sharing stories. Lecture is the next to last in terms of effectiveness. Worse than a lecture is a video lecture, and I think we can throw a podcast into that category. So you need to use a variety of teaching methods, provide a variety of learning experiences, and cut the lecture down to the least amount of time possible. So before we had printed books, lecture was very important. After the printing press, it became less important, but university education did not change. And now that we have everything available electronically and on computer, we need to flip the classroom universities. And there's really, unless nothing's published on the topic, there's no need for a lecture.
Wow.
You can get that quick, right? And so in training, let's do the same thing. Let's flip the classroom and have the content read ahead of time. And then when you bring everyone together, it's okay. Let's start with the book by R.C. Sproul. Okay. What would you give that book? A, B, C, D, or F, and why? And so they've prepared, they've read the book, and now you're helping them process it.
Right.
And in that processing, that's where that advanced learning happens. Yeah. The reading the book is the first exposure, and the processing it together with their peers, it's like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. I remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
So solidifying the learning.
Yeah.
Jim, so how did you come up with the need for this? I know that we talked about how you got out of the scripture, but obviously once upon a time, you were probably very glued to lecture and probably, thinking you were doing great, like most of us. At what point did you kind of shift and realize, hey, I'm challenged by the limitations of what I'm doing, and I think there's a better way?
Yeah. Well, I've never been really good at lecture, so I think that handicap was it.
Nothing like self-awareness, right?
Yeah. Like, how come everyone's eyes is glazing over? But in college, I was a Christian education major, My doctorate is in curriculum, which is teaching and learning. And so it's just, I'm a teacher. And
right.
So, still though, with PowerPoint, you get a PowerPoint up there. It's easy just to start telling people stuff. And you want to get a lot of content in. You want them to like you. And so you want to deliver a lot of information so you look really smart. And so all those kind of feelings sort of creep in there, which is all about me and not about the learners. And so if you can get your eyes off yourself and onto the learners, it's a little easier to talk less, ask more questions, ask people to share more life experiences they've had or values and principles that they found helpful.
Very good. Are there things right now? So we talk a lot about interaction and we always want the learner to arrive at a truth, kind of like the parables when Jesus tells right. the parables. He wants them to arrive and he celebrates. And I know this is kind of hard for people that are in lecture and, you know, the one-way information system. I'm going to cram as much in your head as I can. That Jesus celebrates that these things have been hidden and they've been revealed to babes and the yeah. parables are really so that ever seeing they don't see, but you have seen and you're blessed. And I think, you know, for me, knowing what I know of learning theory, which is very little compared to what you know, at least seeing that in the parables, it seems like something that Jesus desires. His whole teaching was, I'm going to let you arrive at these truths internally. I'm not just going to tell you everything externally. And some of you are going to have to go away and think about the stories. So that's automatically revolutionary. What are some of the things that Christian trainers or trainers in general ought to be thinking about that they're not? What are some of the things that are like the cutting edge or even the kind of like the ahead of the curve things that they're finding out in learning theory that people still in the church haven't grabbed onto?
Yeah, wow. Nice question. So take it down to the level of biology, okay? Is you have a neuron that has to grow a dendrite out and make a connection to another neuron. And then that neuron has to grow a dendrite and make a connection to another neuron. And then it happens again. And that is called a thought. And then you have to sleep at night and your brain doesn't fall asleep. Your brain performs maintenance. So it actually eats cells it's not using. It gets rid of waste material from all your thinking during the day and cells that have died, and it's busy growing new cells even when you're old. And so it reviews that connection and strengthens it overnight. And that's called learning. And so to help that process happen, you need a guide alongside approach, not a mountaintop experience. I'm using that facetiously. So you go to a theology lecture, the professor's on top of the mountain, saying, students, there's four main views of eschatology. Here's what they are. This view, this view, this view, and this view. I'm going to tell you more about it. And we're all down at the base of the mountain going, we can't see those four views. We don't understand it. That's right. That's because I'm up here and you're down there. And I'm going to tell you what it looks like from up here. Instead, it's better to come down to where the students are at the base of the mountain and go, wow, that looks pretty high. You think we can make that in one day? Let's go for the hike. Which path do you guys think will be best to get up? Let's pick this one, okay? Let's start going up. What do you observe? What do you see to the left? What do you see to the right? And so you're helping them learn rather than just telling or teaching. So just help them learn.
That's good. That's really great. Good.
What are some of the ways that you come down the mountain for the learner? What are some things that we can do to make sure that we're not up on the mountain, but we're down at their level?
Yeah, that can be challenging. like for the book, I've Got Your Back, the challenge there, I mean, I had written a whole book that was a little bit too academic. And after I'd written it, I realized my own kids wouldn't read this. And so the challenge with that book was, how do you teach leadership to millennials who largely are not interested in the topic? And so that's what forced me to create the fictional story, the leadership parable, so that I could come in at their level. And their level was, we have bad bosses and we don't like parts of our job and we don't know what to do. And so that was relating to, you know, young adults, freshly graduated from high school, what kind of challenges and things are they facing in life? And so that was my attempt to come off the mountain and come down to their level, and to help them discover it along the way. And what's interesting is, people over 50 read the back of the book and skip the front. And a lot of millennials always start with the story and sometimes never bother with the back of the book because they already got it.
That's wild. Yes, I must confess, I read the back of the book first, but I did read the front of the book also and enjoyed it very much. And actually, there's some nuggets in the front of the book with the story that you don't get in the back of the book. So if you're going to read this book, you need to read them both. It's really good. So thank you so much, Jim, for joining us today and sharing your heart, sharing your expertise. We appreciate it as we seek to move forward to train our planters well. And you've given us a lot to think about and a lot to apply today. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening today. Our mission at Send Network Training is to equip multiplying leaders with reproducible systems to plant more healthy churches. You can follow us on Twitter at Send Network Trainers or on Facebook at Send Network Church Planter Trainers. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. This podcast was made possible by the Send Network of the North American Mission Board.